outline in the edit today, John 14 and verse 3. After you found that, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. And then after you found that, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. John chapter 4, verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 51, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. John chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verse 3. And I go, Jesus is saying, to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14 and verse 3. I want us to read that verse together. John 14 and verse 3. Are you ready? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What did Jesus say? I will what? Come again. Jesus says, I am coming again. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. We will not read this whole scripture, but I'm going to read two verses. Then I'm going to ask you to read two verses with it. Verse 51 and verse 52. I'm going to read it first. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Are you ready to read with me? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise God. Isn't that marvelous? And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. I'll read it first. For the Lord Himself, isn't that great? The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. Are you ready? For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Be seated, please. Oh, Father, our hearts are thrilled as we think about how that the King is coming, how that Jesus is coming again. We know He came the first time, but Lord, how thrilled we are as we look at the world and we see all the things. We see Russia as they're back in the Middle East. And they are the end time people, and Ezekiel 38 tells us about them. And China, that shall come across the Euphrates River during the tribulation, 200 million soldiers. They are building airplane places to land in the ocean, building islands in the ocean. And they are there. And Lord, the great turmoil in Europe this morning with the terrible bombings and the Islamic terrorism in France on Friday. Lord, as Europe is in turmoil, hundreds of thousands of people rushing into those countries, and then there's the kings of the south, Islam, the followers of Muhammad, as they are on every continent in the world, bringing turmoil to our world. Oh God, we're so glad that Jesus is coming again. We thank You that You're in control.
and how marvelous it is that the King is coming. We praise you and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Those of you who've lived a long time, remember World War II. World War II. And one of the great generals of World War I and World War II was General Douglas MacArthur, who spent a great deal of time in the Philippines. His dad was a general. He became a five-star general, only one of five men who've reached that rank. And when the war broke out, of course, we were not prepared for war. We did not have the weapons. Our people did not have the training. And so in the Philippines, our soldiers were driven out. And General MacArthur was forced to leave through Corregidor and go to Australia. But he said before he left, but the famous words, "I shall return. I shall return." And in 1944, October the 24th, General MacArthur returned with his army to the Philippines. And here's what General MacArthur said, "People of the Philippines, I have returned. I have returned. By the grace of the Almighty God, our forces stand again on the Philippine soil. The hour of your redemption is here." In John chapter 4 and verse 14 and verse 3, some of the last words of Jesus before he went to the cross, as he is leaving the upper room and he's going away to Gethsemane, he tells them not to be troubled. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." One of the last words of our Savior, one of the last promises of our Savior is that He would come again. We know He came the first time, and we know that He is coming again. He's the captain of our salvation, and He made His promise to return, and He will return. When we think about the coming of the Lord and this church age that we live in, that we have been in, our church age has been almost now 2,000 years, and we think about that word rapture, and you say, "Brother Bill, the word rapture is not in the Bible." And you're right, the word rapture is not in the Bible. It is a Latin word, rapio, a Latin word. I took a little Latin in high school and learned just a few Latin words. I wish I had learned more, because I learned later on, when my brain became fully developed, a lot of our words come from Latin. And I would have known a lot more about vocabulary if I had known more about Latin. So rapture, the rapture of Christ, the rapture of the church, it occurs, what could occur at any moment. Jesus could come this morning before I finish preaching. I've been looking for Him all my life. My dad lived almost to be 93, and he was looking for the Lord to come. His brother, Uncle Curtis, who preached here many times, was looking for the Lord to come, but He did not come. I talked with my grandfather, who was born in 1885, and he was looking for the Lord to come in his lifetime, but He did not come in his lifetime. But He is coming again. He's coming in the air, coming in the air with those who've died in Christ, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, who their souls and spirits will come with Him. Now we looked at the two major passages about the rapture. And the first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, where Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." The people in the Old Testament did not know about the rapture. There's nothing about the rapture in the Old Testament. Nothing about the rapture in the Old Testament. None of the prophets knew about it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel did not know about the rapture. It is a mystery. "Behold, I show you a mystery." A mystery is something that had previously been hidden, but now it has been revealed. But you know about the rapture. If you're saved, you should know about the rapture. If you're saved, you don't know about the rapture, then It is not God's fault because He has told you, but it is a mystery, something that has been hidden, but something that has been revealed to you. And so God in His Word has revealed to you about the rapture, which was previously all throughout the Old Testament times, which approximately 4,000 years. I do not believe in evolution. I'm a creationist. I believe that our civilization, Adam and Eve, I believe in Adam and Eve. Can I get a witness? Amen. I believe in Adam and Eve. I graduated from college, went to State University, and I still don't believe in it. It's a theory. It's simply a theory. It's an old theory, by the way. An old theory. So many things have been discovered since then that it's really ludicrous to even really think about it. And so it's a mystery. But now that mystery has been revealed. And so we see the mystery of the rapture. The mystery of the rapture. But in 1 Thessalonians, we see the mechanics of the rapture. What's really going to happen? What's really going to take place, the mechanics of it? And in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised." And so there are two things that happen at the rapture. You say, where are those? Let me ask you a question. How many of your mom and dad have gone to be with the Lord? Okay. Where are those who've died with their faith in Christ? So many that I've known who've been here in this building, so many that I ministered to many years ago, have slipped away. One by one, they slipped away. Most all the people who were here 50 years ago when I came, 50 years ago in December, they're gone. They're with the Lord. They're not worried about terrorists, okay? They're not worried about Islam. They're not worried about Russia. They're not worried about China. And so you say, where are those who died with their faith in Christ? They are with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Amen.
And how glorious that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us where they are. And if they could come back, they would not come back. If they could come back, they would not come back. They are glorious, glorious up there. Everything is just wonderful. And so the dead in Christ are with the Lord. Their souls and spirits are with the Lord. But their body, man is a trinity. God's a trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And man is a trinity, made in the image of God. A spirit, we are a spirit being. We are a soul being. And we are a body, a spirit, soul, and body. And so our spirit and soul, when we die in Christ, go to be with the Lord. But our bodies go in the ground. And I stood there at the graveside of my mom and dad, and I thought about that glorious moment when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. They shall stand. Resurrection means they stand upon their feet again. And they are in their glorified bodies. They're no longer old and aged and decrepit and all the things that they went through. And so their bodies shall be raised. You say, what kind of bodies are they? Like the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, I was talking to a young man this week about the resurrection. And his daddy was a preacher. He goes to church every Sunday. Evidently, he sleeps in church. Evidently, he does. Because he knows nothing about the resurrection. He knows nothing about the kind of body that, by how Jesus. And I said, if you want to know about the resurrection, don't give me what you think about the resurrection. Tell me what the Bible says about the resurrection. All we know about the resurrection is in this book right here. And if you want to know about the resurrection body, look at Jesus after He arose from the grave. He was not someone else. He's the only one that's going to be in heaven with scars upon Him. His hands. He told Thomas, he said, "I heard what you said the other day about me, that I was not risen, that I did not rise. Come here, Thomas. Put your fingers into my hands. And thrust your hand in my side, and be not unbelieving." The very body that Jesus was crucified and was buried came forth from the grave, glorified, under a new operating system. Not flesh and blood, but there's no blood in that new operating system where Jesus could walk through a door. I've always wanted to do that. I've tried to do that several times, haven't you? Yeah, it's kind of a humiliating thing to try to walk through a door, but he walked through a door, he appeared, disappeared. It's a completely different operating system that we'll be operating upon, the spiritual body. This is a fleshly body, but the new body that Christ will give us will be a glorious, spirit-controlled body. How glorious that is. So the dead in Christ are going to be raised. You say, about what about those who are living? The Word of God tells, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so there's a generation of people who will not die. Let me say something honestly about it. If you want to die, there's something wrong with you, okay? Let me say that real clearly. If you have a death wish, there's something wrong with you right up here. The first funeral we had here at Crooked Creek was a suicide. A man who took his own life. So God's built within us that we want to live. To live. To live. So I don't want to die. If they're getting a busload to go to heaven after the service, I want to hang around, okay, for a while. Have something to do. But I tell you, this rapture business, man, I like that. Because there's a generation of Christians who will not die. Perhaps there's somebody here in this building this morning who's saved, who will not die. How glorious that is. That's why I take Hadacol and Geritol. And, you know, one a day, 10 a day, multiple vitamins, chewables, gummies, whatever you want. Boy, I'm trying to stay alive. I surely am, because I'll be living when Jesus comes. And I say, come, Lord Jesus. Well, there's a rapture. Then there's a second coming. So in the rapture, Jesus comes in the air for his saints. But there's a second coming, and that is that after the tribulation, you say, well, when Jesus comes, what's going to happen? Those who are lost are going to be left behind. Left behind. For what? Tribulation, 7 years. 7 years in the last 3.5 years is called a great tribulation. Tribulation. At the end of those 7 years, Jesus is coming back with his saints. And those of us who are saved are going to come back with him. The Bible says we'd be coming back riding on horses, white horses, horses. I'm not too good at that, are you? When that horse is coming up, I'm going down. You know what I mean? I just never was a great horseback rider. We're going to come back with the Lord. We're coming back to this literal earth. And Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. His feet are going to stand on the Mount of Olives. And we're going to come, and he's going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And those of us who are saved are going to rule and reign with him. Now, I have already asked for it. I just want you to know. Please don't ask to be ruling in this town. Because I've already asked to be the mayor of Arcade, okay? I want to clean that place up, okay? Those of you who haven't been in Jackson County for a long time, you don't remember 50 years ago. Boy, it was something else. It was crazy. We blew up, killed a solicitor and blew him up. And I remember that morning I was in my office at Jefferson working, and I heard the windows shake and all of that. And the Fuzzy Horde, we call him Fuzzy, who was a solicitor, was blown to bits in the front yard with his family. Pretty rough place, this Jackson County. I'm not sure how much better it's gotten. But anyway, we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. We're going to be in our glorified bodies. 1,000 years. Hitler said, I'm going to have 1,000 years of peace. And boy, he didn't have anything. He lived taking his own life. And so there it is, the rapture. I have I'm going to quickly give you a comparison. I'll give you a copy of this if you would like it. Number one, the scriptures to the rapture and the second coming, completely different, okay? The signs to the rapture, none. The signs are to the second coming. The Jews require a sign. They're looking for a sign. Number three, the location. The saints, Christ comes in the air. They're caught up in the clouds. At the second coming, we come back with him to the earth, to this literal earth. And the purpose is, the rapture is, he comes for his bride. He's coming for the church. In the second coming, he returns to the earth with his bride for a 1,000-year honeymoon upon this earth. The destination, in the rapture, he returns into the heaven with his bride. In the second coming, he sets up his kingdom here, the 1,000-year kingdom upon the earth. And the rapture is for the church. In the second coming, it deals with Israel. And the timing, the time before, it comes before the tribulation. And the second coming comes at the end of the tribulation. So what should we be doing in view of the fact that Christ could come before the end of the service today? That the rapture could come. What should we be doing? Well, I put the outline in your bulletin, okay? Number one, we should be occupying till he comes. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 13, he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. That word occupy simply means do business. We should be doing business until Christ comes. I hear people say, well, you know, Brother Bill, I don't believe we should be having kids now. These days are too bad to have kids. These are the kind of days that God says we ought to be having kids. I mean, these are the kind of days that we should be doing business. We should be building houses. We should be winning souls. We should be building church buildings. We should be serving God to the very fullest extent. God does not want us to sit down and to be looking for the Lord to come. God says that we need to be occupying and doing business till you come. Now, there was a group called the Millerites. William Miller, who, by the way, was a... Hope you're listening now. Hope you're looking this way. Hope you're not talking to somebody. That's why you don't know about what I'm talking about. You can't talk and listen at the same time. So I want you to look this way, okay? Don't be talking in the house of God. You need to be reverent in God's house. If you want to have gray hair, you better be reverent. Okay? William Miller was a Baptist preacher. And he thought he knew when Jesus was coming. He set a date. The date he set was October 23, 1844. You know what those people did? They sold their possessions. They sold their houses. They sold their land. They sold everything. They put on white robes. I hope they weren't members of some other group who wore white robes that I can think about a long time ago. And they went up to the mountaintops and waited for the Lord to come. Guess what? The Lord very obviously did not come. If they had only read the Word of God, they would have known that Jesus was not coming on October the 23rd, 1844. For the Word of God says, no one knows the day or the hour when the Lord comes. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes, Matthew 25 and verse 13. And so, God doesn't want us to put on a white robe and to sit down and sell your possessions. He wants you to be at work and have your sleeves rolled up, be excited about living and doing, raising families, raising children and grandchildren, serving God and all those things. Jesus told that parable. He said, do business till I come. And he was telling us that the kingdom had been postponed. The last thing that the disciples asked Jesus when he was on the Mount of Olives and about ready to ascend, he said, Lord, Are you going to set up your kingdom at this time? Now, Jesus didn't say this, but I can just imagine. I want to think that he would say, what in the world are you guys really thinking about? How many times do I have to tell you that I'm not going to set the kingdom up now? That the kingdom has been postponed. That the kingdom has not been canceled, but it's been postponed. And the very last thing that Jesus told them, he said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And it's a strange thing that we can't understand that the time that we live in is a time of postponement. It's been a long postponement. Some of you watch baseball games. Nothing wrong with that. I like that, don't you? And they postpone the game. And they roll the tarp out. And they wait and they wait and wait, start the baseball game back again. But I want to tell you, it's been a long postponement. 2,000 years. And so, but the coming of Christ is always imminent. And I'm looking that even though he did not come in my Father's time, I'm looking for him to come in my lifetime. And so we see in this parable about postponement. We see in this parable about occupying. We see in this telling us about how that we should be doing business until he comes. Number two, not only we should be occupying, but we should be pure. Pure in our thoughts. If we're looking for the Lord to come, then our sleeves should be rolled up. And perspiration be upon our brow. And we're busy serving God and excited about loving him and living for him. But as we're looking for him to come, we're looking for him that our lives will be everyone that hath his hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That we will live clean lives. That our thinking will be pure. What kind of thoughts do you think? What sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. So what kind of thought? What about your thought life? What are you thinking about? Someone has said, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an action and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap character. Sow character and you reap destiny. So we need to be careful about our thoughts, because thoughts become words and words become deeds. How we need to be living pure lives. What kind of things are you watching? What kind of things are you reading? What kind of websites are you going to? What are you filling your mind with? Are you eating out of the trash can? Or are you thinking wholesome thoughts? I mentioned this idea of a person taking their life can so get a hold of a person that they become consumed with that. And that's the kind of thought that you don't want to think about. Someone asked me one time, said, Brother Bill, if you were to kill yourself, how would you do it? I said, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't think about it. I would not even consider it. I would not even consider it. God's word said, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. So there are thoughts that you don't need to think about. Don't let them stop in your mind. Pornography is a big problem in the church today. It's a problem in the ministry as men are being caught with that terrible web of pornography. Be careful the TV programs you watch. Be careful the movies that you watch. Be careful of the thought. Make sure that your thoughts are pure. Everyone who's looking for the Lord to come purifies themselves even as he is pure. A man who leaves his wife, first of all, it's in the mind. It's first in the mind. A man just doesn't run off and grab some old girl and run off to the cave with her. I mean, he's been thinking about that. and the thought gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and God says, don't think about it. For if we're saved, we are identified with Christ. Most of you are professing Christians, and you've been baptized. And what does baptism do? Say, it doesn't do anything, it just gets you wet, okay? It does do something. It shows the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you're baptized, you're giving a testimony that Christ died, He was buried, and then He rose again. But that is not all. That is not all. It is a testimony about your identification with Him. How that you, the old life, was crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. Nailed to the cross. Your sins were nailed to the cross. Do you believe that? Yes. And the sin nature from which those sins emanate was nailed to the cross. And the power of the world and the flesh and the devil, the slavery of that, has been broken. And you're no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter of God. You were buried with Him. The old life has really, the power has really been broken. The cage has been opened. And you're free to fly out from that cave. And if you're saved, and we come out of the water, and I have never left. I remember the first two people I baptized, a brother and a sister, and after we moved in the building, baptized, the Parks, boy and girl. And I've never left anybody on the bottom of the pool. I've always brought them out. And when we bring them out, it says what? Christ arose from the grave. And I'm risen with Christ. I have new life and new power and new excitement and new purpose in my life. And I don't have to be like my father. I don't have to be like my ancestors, the family tree. Well, there's some real things of that family tree, aren't there? Is there not? Amen? Well, some of you look like, not my family tree, Brother Bill. The problem is your family tree is a bunch of lying up there then. Because, boy, we've got some real characters up our family tree. Some real bad things. My DNA, those chromosomes, all of those things. Boy, there's stuff in there. There's some good stuff and there's bad stuff. But being risen with Christ gives us new life and new power. And I don't have to be bound by that. I don't have to be bound by that. And so we see that we need to be pure very quickly. Thirdly, not only to be occupied, do business, but we should be pure. But thirdly, very quickly, we should be watching, looking for the Lord to come. We should be pardon me, expecting Him to come, looking for Christ to come. Are you looking for Christ to come? Are you longing for Christ to come? Are you loving His appearing? Are you excited about the fact that you may not die, that you may go to meet the Lord? And so we should be looking for Him. So are you doing business for the Lord? Are you being pure and walking in purity of life? And are you watching for Him to come? But thirdly, fourthly, very quickly, we should be excelling. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain, in the Lord we should be excelling. In view of the fact that Christ is coming, in view of the fact that He may come in our lifetime, we should be excelling. A lot of Christians are like wheelbarrows. They have to be pushed. I read about a sign in a manufacturing plant that reads this way. If you are like a wheelbarrow, going no further than you're pushed, you need not to apply for work here. God doesn't want us to be wheelbarrows, wheelbarrow people who have to be pushed. And so we're to be steadfast, settled, and steady, and firm, and faithful, unmovable, not giving up. Don't quit. Let me tell you a story about Apple Computer Company. On April Fool's Day, can you believe that Apple computer company was born on April Fool's Day in 1976. Steve Jobs, Ron Wayne, and Steve Wozniak founded the company in 1976. Ron Wayne was the adult in the group. He had more money than any of the rest of them. Probably, I think, about $10,000. And the others were just, well, Ron Wayne was the guy who did the logo. It's an amazing logo. And this guy, Ron Wayne, designed the original Apple logo. He wrote the manual for the Apple I computer. He wrote the manual. I mean, he was a bright guy. He was the one who wrote the partnership agreement for the three partners. He's the one, and they gave him 10% ownership in Apple Computer Company in 1976. 10% ownership. And by the way, that would be worth $22 billion now. $22 billion. Well, you know what Ron Wayne did? He looked at those other two guys, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, and said, these guys are not very mature, and they're liable to put us in bankruptcy, and I'm the only guy who has any money, $10,000, and they'll come and get me, okay? So you know what Ron did? He sold his 10% share in Apple for $800. $800. That's now worth $22 billion, with a B, billion dollars. And by the way, Ron Wayne lives on Social Security today. You see how easy it is to give up, how easy it is to quit, how easy it is not to excel, how easy just to kind of drift along, how easy it is just to be unconcerned and just quitting and this and that and going here and going there and going to the other. And God says, don't do that. In view of the fact that Jesus is coming again, you need to be occupying and doing business. You need to have your sleeves rolled up. You need to be excited about living. You need to have the pedal to the metal. And you need to be pure. You need to be careful what you think about. You need to be careful where you go. You need to be careful what you watch. You need to be careful what your mind is on. You need to be watching and looking for the Lord to come. And you need to be excelling, doing your very best that you can do. I've always believed, whatever we do it wholeheartedly, do it full throttle. You say, it'll kill you, it hasn't killed me yet. Amen? I've already passed the life expectancy of a male. So I know it won't kill you. Because I spent most of my life holding down two full-time jobs, most of my life. My life's run on two tracks, a businessman and a preacher, all at the same time. You say it can't be done. The Apostle Paul did. He was a businessman. He was a bivocational preacher and a missionary. And it can be done. And so we need to be excelling. I want to ask you, are you really doing your very best? Are you letting God work through your life and trusting Him? And really, this is my last statement, that we need to live each day as if it were our last day. We need to live each day as if it were our last day and live it to the fullest. We don't need to be giving up. We don't need to be turning round. By the grace of God, Jesus is coming, and how glorious and how exciting it is, shall we bow our heads. Musicians, will you come forward? I don't know what it is that God has spoken to you about today. Perhaps there's someone here today, you're not saved or sure that you're saved. And if Christ came, you say, Brother Bill, what would happen? You'd be left behind. You'd be left behind. You'd be left behind. You say, big deal. Yeah, big deal. To the most terrible times this world has ever known, to be lost. And so, maybe you don't know Christ, or sure. In just a moment, we're going to sing the invitation hymn. Invite you to come forward and open the Word of God with you, show you how that you can be saved. You say, well, people think I'm saved. Hey, listen, don't let that stop you right there. I mean, you need to know that you know that you know that you're saved. You can know that. Perhaps you're saved and you've never followed Christ and believed in baptism. You've never even given a testimony about the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's what baptism is. And you've never given a testimony about your identification with Christ, how that you've been crucified with Christ, and how the old life's been buried, and how that you've been raised to live, to walk in newness of life, and that how Christ came to let you out of prison and open the doors and let you walk out into the bright sunlight and begin to live for Him, to be what you can be by His grace. We invite you to come this morning. Or maybe you're saved and you've been baptized, your membership is elsewhere, and God is speaking to you about it. Or maybe there are those who are not really doing business. You just kind of eased up in your Christian life. And maybe there's some things, that some purities as far as thoughts are concerned. Or maybe you're not watching for the Lord to come. Or maybe you're not excelling. Maybe you're not doing, you're not giving your life completely to Him. And say, Lord, I just abandon myself to You. And I want You to use me by Your grace and power. Maybe you're not doing that. Maybe you've eased up. You've slowed down. Hey, you don't have time to go Sunday night. No. You don't have time to come to prayer meeting. That's not your priority. You've eased up and backed up, going backwards. Oh, listen, God wants you to go forward. And you can by His grace. Shall we stand, please? What number?
310.
310. Shall we stand, please? Will you come on the first verse?